¿Quién habla? Está hablando el representante Luis Ursúa. Luis Ursúa, acá habla el ministro de Minería, Lawrence Goldborn.
That's Chile's mining minister, Lawrence Goldborn. He's speaking with one of the 33 miners who's trapped beneath the ground, about 2,000 feet below the ground, and they've been there for nearly 3 weeks. The good news is they're all alive, but the bad news is it could take up to 4 months to get them out. Here's the kicker. The miners don't know that yet. Nobody has told them that it could take 3 or 4 months to tunnel into where they are. Authorities think that knowing that they may have to spend months in this 500-square-foot space could break their spirits. In the meantime, family members are speaking to them for the first time today as the rescue effort continues.
The media is covering this all over the Western Hemisphere. I mean, this is like
absolutely
blow by blow.
It is a huge story. Yeah. We're joined now by Eva Salinas, the editor of the Santiago Times, with the latest news about this underground disaster. So, what is the latest news coming out of Copiapó, the gold and copper mine that's located there?
Well, you heard just a small clip of that first call with the mining minister, since the president, Sebastian Piñera, did make a call directly to the miners late last night as well. What exactly he told them was the rescue is going to take some time, is what he said. So they are making some communication, which is great. Still, communication by family remains by letter. Psychologists have recommended the first couple of days that they didn't speak directly to their families. It would be too emotional. So a few letters were sent down by children, for instance, of the minors. I had a look at some of the messages. They were recommended to stay very positive. So how happy they were when they found out they were alive, obviously, that they're looking forward to celebrating with them when they are released, that they're celebrating already above ground. So those letters were sent down yesterday. Also yesterday arrived to the site, which is about 500 miles north of Santiago, so in northern Chile, the large pieces of the machine that they will use to drill that big hole that will eventually, the hope is, get them out. And what they're hoping to do is drill that big hole. Obviously, it takes a long time. And then when the hole is complete, lower a basket and bring up each miner one by one. And so that those final details were also discussed late yesterday.
I understand that the miners actually made 2 days supply, a 2 day supply of food last for more than 2 weeks. And they did that by having just two spoonfuls of tuna and a bite of cracker and a tiny bit of peach every other day. And now they are unable to eat solid food. Is that correct?
They started the first package that they sent down because obviously, too, the body needs time to get used to eating that again. But also, the hole, the first hole that they were able to get through down to the miners and the refuge where they are able to get through is quite small. It's only 6 inches in diameter. So there's not too much you can send down there. But they do anticipate to send in some form full foods, bread, milk, yogurt. Right now, last night, they sent down soup, and that was probably the most, the closest
heartiest
solid food that they've had.
But are the miners asking for things? I mean, I assume they've asked for food and water, but are there other things they're requesting?
Well, in one of the first calls they made, they jokingly asked for a beer. Otherwise, I think they're awaiting instruction. They've also been given instruction on how to arrange their time in terms of it's really important to have a schedule and keep busy. And a lot of these things they already know, which is incredible. And that's, I think, how they've lasted so long. For instance, in the 2 weeks they were down there, they set up a schedule for each of them to clean parts of the mine. There is this refuge space, but there's actually about 1 kilometer of corridor underground that they can roam about. It's pitch black. I mean, they have small headlamps, but they are saving those, so they are in the dark most of the time. But so they're waiting instructions, and also they know that help is coming. So I don't think they've made a big list of requests as of yet.
I suspect, though, Eva Salinas, that request for a beer may feel less like a joke a couple of months from now. How is the media covering this, and what are Chileans' response to being in this dark place that's such a setting of so many nightmares and myths? This really sort of brings up the whole magical realism construct, it would seem, to everybody, hanging on the fate of these miners down below the ground.
Definitely. I think that it really has grabbed the attention of the country in a big, big way, because mining is the number one industry here. And if you don't have a miner in your family, you know a miner, or half of the country, the northern half, I mean, that's where the majority of people work in the mining industry. So it's definitely something that's been in the national conscience for many, many years. There's a famous folklore singer, Victor Jara, that wrote a song in the 60s called Song of the Miner. And that already has, that song has been coming back up. It's really, really powerful, about going down into the mine and how there's a potential of facing death by doing so. And so it's really captured the nation's attention, but also because Chile's celebrating on September 18th its bicentennial. And I think through the media and because the government is promoting it this way, there's been a lot of language used in terms of national unity and how this is kind of such good news, is kicking off the bicentennial celebrations, and how it came at a perfect time. And obviously Chile's had quite the year with the earthquake in February, and President Sebastián Piñera is new, relatively new. He came into power in March, and he's the first conservative government here in 20 years since Pinochet's time. So there's been a lot of changes in Chile, and I think that people are looking for a reason to kind of feel united, and that's been an issue in a country that's so long and narrow as well. The north is so different than the south.
Let's hope the news stays good, Eva
Salinas is the editor of the Santiago Times. She spoke with us from Santiago, Chile. The government of Chile has actually requested for help from NASA, who obviously has done a lot of testing and training with crew members who are experience extended periods of isolation.